Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is from 2 Chronicles chapter 24. I will not reread the text, but I do want to read just this one verse that kind of gives you the flavor of what we're heading into tonight. Verse 2. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days that Jehoiada the priest. You can see both good and bad right there, right? Just think about it. Well, last week we considered the reign of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, who made a marriage alliance with King Ahab of Israel. It was mentioned that at Jehoshaphat's death, King Jehoram, the son-in-law of Ahab, and Jezebel ascended to the throne of his father and reigned in Judah. This was when the alliance of Judah and Israel bore disastrous fruit, and Jehoram walked in the ways of the kings of Israel as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. Jehoram's first act was to kill his six brothers to ensure no rivals to his throne. Jehoram reigned 8 years, during which neighboring nations revolted and led Judah into whoredom. I believe that's the first time I've ever used that word, but it's in the text. After all other gods, he died in agony. And if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 20, you'll read this horrifying statement. And he departed with no one's regret. That's about all you need to know about him. After Jehoram, Ahaziah, his youngest son, reigned for a year following the counsel of his mother, Jehoram's widow, Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab. Athaliah arose and destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. This woman was as wicked as her mother Jezebel. And if that could be possible, she was more ambitious and bloodthirsty. Throughout this time, the house of God had been plundered by the royal family, desecrated, and ignored. This is a common theme throughout 2 Chronicles. As you're watching the king, the state of the king reflects the state of the people. And as they pull further away from God, you see the deterioration of the temple. Right? This is how the book kind of reflects for us. Of Ahaziah's son, only the infant, the one we're going to speak about tonight, Joash, was rescued. Secreted away by his aunt and uncle and spared, Queen Athaliah's reign of evil, which lasted 6 years, while Joash was stashed in the temple. He could be easily hidden there because the royal family had nothing to do with it. Joash then was, after that, Athaliah paid no had taken all the gold and silver out of the temple, so it was of no importance to her. And then Joash was declared king at 7 years of age, when Athaliah was executed, and Joash was brought out by his uncle Jehoiada, the priest, who had raised him as his own. And it is written, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. It's really an odd way to put things, isn't it? But it gives us a hint of exactly what's going on with him as well. Jehoiada lived to be 130 years old. And while being counseled by Jehoiada, Joash did that which was righteous in God's sight. During that time, Joash commenced a major renovation of the temple, cleansing the temple of all the pagan stuff that had been brought in. He restored the temple to its purpose, and he even offered burnt offerings to the Lord again. It took a long time, but Joash was zealous for the Lord's project, and made sure that it was completed. That is, as all the days of Jehoiada, the priest was alive. When the priest Jehoiada was alive, worship was restored in Solomon's temple. But then he died. And Joash commenced to paying attention to other counselors, those that, well, flattered him. So the prophets were rejected. God's appeal to turn Judah back was spurned. Finally, Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, is sent to him as a prophet. They were raised as if they were brothers. Surely he'll listen to him. Well, he's just a cousin. They grew up together. So what we read is, the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, and he prophesied to the people, asking, "Why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper?" But for Zechariah's trouble, Joash conspired with the princes against him. As God's prophet and priest stood in the court of the very temple Joash had restored during Zechariah's father's life, there they stoned him, Zechariah, to death. As Zechariah was dying, he cried out, "May the Lord see and avenge," which recalls the blood of Abel crying out to the Lord when Cain killed him. The temple had been restored for sacrifices. Blood was supposed to be shed in its courts, but not from murder. The recently cleansed temple is now defiled by wanton contempt for God's word and the violent slaying of Zechariah. The temple was a beautiful building, but divorced from the steadfast faith, that's all it is. You know, we often talk about those churches where the words of God have disappeared from them, but they're very busy with people. We call them beautiful corpses. Zombies, if you will. Kings are often famous for their building projects, right? You have the great pyramids in Egypt. You have Nebuchadnezzar's hanging gardens of Babylon. And why even President Eisenhower's interstate system, right, are all examples of projects that brought lasting fame to their sponsors. Buildings captivate our attention, as even the temple in Jerusalem did. In Holy Week, even Jesus' disciples commented about Herod's temple, "What wonderful stones and what a wonderful building," as Jesus foretold its very destruction. Whatever pride Joash had in the temple was in vain when he rejected the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit who dwelt in it. Solomon's temple, which Joash spent so much money and time restoring, would be destroyed. Many years after Joash died, Nebuchadnezzar would overrun Jerusalem and bring the temple down to the ground. It was later rebuilt in the time of Ezra, and expanded by King Herod. That temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. You see, kings indeed build impressive temples, and other kings come and destroy them. But even the kings who built and cleansed temples can be led astray. They often turned away from the God whose presence dwelt in the temple. They often turned away from the word of the Lord completely as they started trusting only in themselves. They turned away from the purpose of the building. If their focus was on the building, then their eyes are not fixed on God and His word, whose grace made the building a meeting place with His glory. We need a much better king than Joash. We need a king who will restore the temple and never let it fall into despair and disrepair. We need a Messiah who will save his people from their sins. We need Joash's son, well, great, 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 great grandson, Jesus. Jesus was found in the temple as an infant. His life was threatened by the same King Herod who expanded the temple in his day. And he was taken to safety by his father Joseph after the angel warned. As a young man, Jesus was always about his father's business and at home in his father's house. In fact, the zeal for his father's house consumed him. And this son of Joash would cleanse the temple by overturning the money changers' tables and setting the animals free. He restored the temple to its proper use. It was a house of prayer. It was a place to meet God in his gracious presence and to receive once again the forgiveness of our sins. But our king, the son of David, was much more than that. His very body is the temple. John the Baptist witnessed the Holy Spirit descend and remain on him, just as the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle and Solomon's temple, and just as the Holy Spirit clothed Zechariah the priest. The Holy Spirit made Jesus' body his temple. The prophets were sent, you see, to prepare Judah for this Messiah's coming. But just as the Judeans rejected the prophet in their days of the monarchy, the Pharisees and the lawyers, the scribes, rejected Jesus in their day. They rejected the prophet John. And when Jesus said, "Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed, so you are witnesses and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation,' Jesus says in Luke 11. All the innocent blood from Abel to Zechariah cried out for vengeance, as God declared in his covenant with Noah, 'Whoever sheds the blood by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image.'" Jesus told another parable about this in his own teachings, in which God sent servants to those working in a vineyard. The tenants mistreated the servants, rejected them. Finally, God sent his son, but he too was killed in cold jealousy. Whereas King Joash, you see, conspired to kill the priest Zechariah, it was the chief priest who conspired to send the son of Joash to death. But when the Judeans sent their king, the son of David, to death, he became the mediator of a much greater covenant. Thanks be to God, his sprinkled blood speaks a better word than the blood of Zechariah. Jesus didn't cry out from the cross for vengeance. Instead, he cried out on our behalf, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness and peace to all who have transgressed. His blood washes the stain of sin away, and his true drink for eternal life. We need a king who can provide a temple which will survive, which is not subject to the vagaries of politics and politicians. We need a temple which is beyond the reach of princes and sinful people like ourselves. We need a temple which cannot be destroyed, so we can come into God's presence. And the son of Joash has restored that temple for all eternity for us. Our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, bore the temple in his own body. Although his body was destroyed, it did not see corruption, but was rebuilt on the third day. this temple will never be destroyed or desecrated, but is eternally clean. We will continue to be a place of refuge for all sinners. He will continue to offer His body and His blood as a pledge of this new covenant for sinners like us. So thanks be to God. We have an eternal temple for which we yearn and to which we are headed. In Jesus, we worship then in spirit and in truth. And in Jesus, we have the peace of life and an eternal. In His precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.